Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah,
good to be here and enjoy life and enjoy health when we have it, you know. And we always pray for health for everybody. Pray that you can stick around, raise your children, your Takosha's grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's what we're putting on the earth for. So, you know, and it's good. It feels good to be good to each other, right? You know, sometimes it's hard because, you know, we're always like in situations where, you know, like I said, this country was invaded by another people. Some criminals, Neanderthals, or whatever you want to call them, you know. And they showed up here and inbred it and populated it real quick and just started being killers, blah, blah, this, blah, blah. Anyway, you know the story. I don't want to spend 2 hours on it, you know. But because of that, and they're really wicked people, you know, like when they found gold in the Black Hills, right away they hollered out, gold in the Black Hills. That way they can get a bunch of people to come and they wouldn't be alone and they'd have protection, you know. So that's what they did. And they do that anyway. Now this country is a country full of enemies. And why do I say that? You know, people say, why? What do you mean, country full of enemies? Well, think about it. Blacks hate whites. White hate blacks. White hate Mexicans. And most of the world, other people don't like them. You know, they don't like cops. Cops don't like them. You know. Sober people don't like drunks. Drunks don't like sober people. But we're all living in one bundle. Well, we ain't because we're on the res. At least people that live on Indian reservations are living with their own kind. I'm not saying that's good, though, because we have issues, too, because our own people are turning American, you know. And, I mean, they're walking this way. I mean, running around with dyed blonde hair and earrings in their nose all over the place and tattooed up but calling it tradition, you know. And anyway, I don't want to. The ones in the city, here's a white guy living here. Next door to him's a black guy. Next door to him's the guy from Pakistan. Down this side, there's an Asian guy. And then down there, there's Russian and Ukrainian living there and Italians and everybody. And they all hate each other, but they live on the same street. They go to the same store. They show up in the same Walmart. They're all in McDonald's. They're sitting there in Golden Corral right across from each other, you know? And yeah, some of them, they try to smile and act like they're friendly, but behind closed doors, what that effing Ager, that effing engine, that effing this, that effing that effing Peckerwood, that effing, you know. Everybody hates each other. And then, plus they got guns. And a lot of them are big-time troublemakers with one finger on 911 to call the cops, you know. So this country is full of that, and they wonder why there's so much violence. Like some guy, then now you got the gay crew, the potheads. They all want their rights, and the gun crew, you know. This guy that shot up there in Maine, you know, went in there and mowed down some people at a bowling alley and then some bar and all that, you know. And then he disappeared and they're all looking for him. Well, I knew damn well what happened to him. As soon as he left, he went and committed Harry Carey. That's what they do. And these Washichus, they say, oh, I was hearing voices. That's what these voices were telling me to go kill. They all come up with that same stupid story, you know, because they don't know how to make up their own story. They say somebody used that story 10 years ago. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I was hearing voices, you know. I got PTSD. Shit, we all got PTSD. You live in this country with all these idiots, we all got PTSD. So don't use that for a damn excuse, for Christ's sakes, you know. Anyway, you know, I knew that guy was going to kill himself. Anyway, they found him dead just like I knew. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, this thing came up with Buffy St. Marie all of a sudden. But most people knew this long ago about this woman, you know. And I actually had nothing against Buffy St. Marie, even though she stabbed us in the back real good, you know. You know, people do this all the time. Like in Standing Rock, I seen all these rappers, hip-hoppers, and music groups. They head to these protests and go on protests, and they use that to enhance their music career. Yeah, we was in Standing Rock, me and my band. So I made a song about Standing Rock. So you want to hear it? Boing, boing, bing, bing, boing, boing, Standing Rock, Standing, boing, 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 bing, bing. Standing Rock, you and Standing Rock, you and Standing Rock, boing, boing, you know, they do this. Then they get free tickets to Europe or wherever, you know. They're Standing Rock professionals. Well, Buffy St. Marie and people during Wounded Knee occupation, American Indian movement, they did the same thing. So she made a song about Wounded Knee, you know. And, you know, a lot of groups did it. Redbone did it. I mean, Blackfoot did it. All these groups, you know, they use our people and our problems for their personal gain, you know. Redbone sold 1 million copies of their song about Wounded Knee. Buffy St. Marie did the same. But check this out. So one time we were doing a concert, and I'll make this quick. Or let me jump back on this after Tanashi takes over, because we might need a prayer by the time we get done here. Let me see what's going on here.
No.
Let me make sure. Hey, Tanashi, let me ask you a question, you know.
Yeah.
I know that. Come on now, quit that. There you go again. Come on.
Okay.
Let me ask. There. All right. Okay. This is the okay, all right. Can you hear me, show? You know?
Okay. All right, let's go.
Wait a minute now. We gotta get straight here. But let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I know you and my bro took off the other day, so it made me think. And I asked you this question, you know, for all our listeners out there, you know, why does it take two old Lakotas, two of them, to go snag one girl?
Well, that's an easy one. What's the name? One's got to help the other one get home.
The one passes out when he's done, but takes the other one to pull him off and zip him back up and drag him to the car and get him home, you know. That's why it takes two old Lakotas to snag one girl, you know. Anyway, but go ahead, take over so we can get on with the...
You know, we'll say a prayer and get started here. Bayat kun kashlata kan kan kaya yupiak rakhe On pettynyt aika hiippelä hupia, että hankaa jonkin itseä hankaisella nää. Mitä aikea tuki tekstil ujonkin lennä juhilla hankaisella, sitä on sinun jäkihon. Ää uokin vastusti, ukihän, jotenkin vaikka kansalla. Vaikka vaikka lennä hankaisella. Ää uokin vasta on si, ja vatsin chapelu lehtää tyt hankaisella. Sitä on yksi hassanut, ja on kpaadit chapelu kotala, jotenkin. Ää se äät hankaisella, inskunkin chapelukon. Ja on niitä unkohtun kanssa onkin ja pietsi, että sitten hoitaa yhäkin on kiinnostunut. Mä ajattelen, että tekstilöitun kanssa lehtää tykkiä. Joo, tietenkin se, että akik on se, että lennätun kanssa tykkiä. Tykkiä on tehty, että hoitaa, että on kiinnostunut. Että niin on huokki, että on se, että lennätun kanssa näkö. Ja onkin, on se, että tämä on niin mitään, että pakitit. Mä ajattelen kanssa, että on kiinnostunut. Niin on ollut, että on ikään kuin kielellä lehtää tykkitun kanssa. Ja mitä takia tykkitekstit on niin yhä. Mutta se osaa niitä. Onkin on ajatun katakia tun kanssa. Ja sitä on sinun kiehapia tun kanssa. Tämä on kun ja juskia tun kanssa. Ja on kuinjonkin. Nämä tykkitekstit tun kanssa. Ei pääk ihan kankkolena tun kanssa. Oikein vasta on kiitsehti, niin se voi yksi asteista on kiitsehti. Yhät on kanssa, on silloin, se on jo aika lihunja pitä, on kanssa lehtää, että on silloin lapu. Hau, mitä aki jäsen?
Hau, mitä aki jäsen? Let me finish where I left off and then we'll move on. But I was going to tell you because, you know, I see this as social media right now, you know, about Buffy St. Marie, they found out she's Italian and not, you know, all that. So we'll jump on that right now. But I want to tell you what happened with us. That's why, you know, anyway, she made a song about Wounded Knee, and she's a big celebrity, indigenous, and all this stuff. So we're doing a concert, and we got a bunch of res bands coming, and finally, someone says, well, why don't we ask Buffy St. Marie to come? You know, she wrote a song about Wounded Knee. We're doing this concert where Wounded Knee Creek runs into the White River, the last battle of the ghost dances. So, yeah, that sounds good. So we sent, in them days, we didn't have internet. Matter of fact, I was the first one. We were the first one to have a website when this event occurred. And, man, I'm telling you. Can you imagine using a 28.8 modem? You have to wait half an hour for a picture to develop, you know. But yep. we were new to it, so we sat there and waited for half an hour. When a picture developed, oh, look at that. Look at, gee, what would they think of next, you know. Anyway, so we didn't have so we had to do stuff by mail, send a letter, and nothing and all this and anyway finally she says she'll come, but she wants $20,000. Now this is a benefit concert. Everybody that's coming is doing it for free, right? That's the condition. If you can't come for free, we can't, nothing we can do about it. We're trying to raise money for a rec center and stuff, you know, and different things. And we usually, when at that time, whenever we did stuff, we like to try to donate to different places like Keeley Radio, et cetera. But she says $20,000. Woo, that's a lot of money. We can't do it. So we just ignored her. So we're going about life. And by the week, our concert's getting bigger. Every week we're getting new acts in it, you know. And it's getting bigger. Pretty soon, you know, like we had Floyd Westerman, we had Joanne Shenandoah, Eulalie. And so she starts watching this from afar because we're putting this out. Every week our posters are getting bigger with more acts. So she's finally, she says, okay, she'll do it for $18,000. How 18? This is back in 1995 or something like that. Man, $18,000, like that's like $180,000 right now. We're saying, gee, you know, no way we can do that. So once again, we ignored her and we just went on. But our gig's getting bigger. Now we got group from Australia coming in and international bands from Europe showing up. And that's getting there. And she's watching this. I mean, I'm not lying. Even Yoko Ono was trying to get in on it. Yoko Ono, and we could add a lot of other stuff, but, you know, pretty soon we had to shut the door, but she was watching us. One time she dropped down to $12,000, and we couldn't even afford $12,000. So we said, heck with it. You know, we just wasn't even, she was sending us these quotes. I got them in the house over here, you know, all her quotes and stuff. Anyway, we just ignored her. But all of a sudden, here, now we get Richie Havens, Woodstocker. Then we get Chuck Berry. Then we have Great White. And War even jumped in on it. But them suckers ended up some problem down there and someplace else and didn't show up. And, you know, but anyway, the ones that showed up, Chuck Berry, we had a big, we had 56 bands from all over the world. Yosu Yindi, Black Uhuru, Dub Syndicate. We had reggae, every kind of music you could think of showing up. And then she starts getting a hold. Well, why can't you do? Finally, we got. I didn't want to talk to her. So she calls up, and one of the guys there saying, he don't even like you. He don't want you around here. So, you know, I never said that, but he told Buffy St. Marie that I hated her guts or something. But I never said that. He just wanted to get rid of her, so he told her that. Anyway, check this out. We do. Even Steppenwolf showed up. Yeah, Steppenwolf. So what happens, we're doing the gig, and up here comes Buffy St. Marie. No warning whatsoever. She just shows up on her own without being invited in her big tour bus and stuff. So she's there. So we said, wow. And she came. Oh, when can I perform? And she's all this being, you know, really. And I told her, I said, we didn't even know you was coming. Yeah, well, I'm here. So when could I go on and blah, blah, blah. She's really kind of a pushy person, you know. So, and she wanted to perform Saturday night. We had the gig Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. She wanted to perform Saturday night when everybody's there. So we had to push them out. Anyway, we slid her in there between, I think it was that Black Uhuru and, or maybe it was Richie Havens. And then, Great White, you know, that Great White, that big rock band, big racist people. Anyway, we brought them because, you know, like the youth, you know. So anyway, so she got in there, and man, I'm not going to lie, Buffy St. Marie threw down. I mean, there's no doubt that she can't perform. Man, she threw down. And even though she was old, you know, she was pretty damn shapely, you know. And she was out there, throwing down out there. But then she starts going over her time, trying to get her to cut it. But it's ignoring us. Like, I think it purposely, she's defying us to get off the stage. Anyway, she ran over into Great White's time. So Great White, they were chinko, and they didn't want to play. So we got into it with them. That's another story there, a whole other story. Don't got time to go into that. But anyway, she came off. And when she got done, we were over there, and all of a sudden, she has these two big Washichu bodyguards, man. I'm talking about these guys. Big arms, and they're both blonde, and they have beetle haircuts. I'll never forget these guys. Big dudes, like 6 foot tall, built like Mr. Clean. You know what I mean? And they come over and said, so we're supposed to pick up the money. What money? She said you owe her $10,000. You know, she won $10,000. She showed up without even asking. Now she wants $10,000. And these dudes are looking at me and they're cracking their knuckles. You know, yeah, I want $10,000, you know. You know, so I said, what the F, you know, and these guys are pretty damn intimidating, man, let me tell you. Two big old Peckerwoods, man, like, I mean, you know I got some pretty hefty guns, but these guys are way, I mean, look like Mr. Clean. And then they had Beetle haircuts. And anyway, so we had security and we had to, you know, I ain't going to tell all the details, but long story short, we had to, okay, we'll pay you, but you have to come over here and, you know, we had to make them think they're getting paid and put them in a room with a bunch of Indians and put the fear of God in them and tell them, get the hell off the res. And took them and dumped them off out on the highway. So anyway, Buffy St. Marie, you know, so, hey, your boy's out on the highway. You're going to have to go get him. Boy, she was so mad. I'm telling you. She was pissed. You know what she did? She walked up to me. You guys probably going to call me a liar. And you ain't going to believe this. But she grabbed me by the back of the head and kissed me right on the face. And she said, I just wanted to kiss the man who hates my guts. She did this right there on the stage in front of everybody. I said, man, I don't hate your guts. I said, you know what? You're just not right because we told you not to come. We wouldn't. I said, you know what happened? And anyway, she left all pissed off, took off, sold bad names on us. And anyway, they didn't stop for years. Oh, that guy's a bad guy. Those guys are thieves, crooks, and every, you know, we had the whole bad publicity, not just from her, but others too, but that's what she did to us that night, her, you know. So that's what I'll say about her. And as far as her being Indian, I don't know if she's an Indian or not. I don't really know. But I tell you this much. When I got a hold of her, she was living in, I mean, when we sent the letter, she was in Hawaii. The way we bumped across her was Taj Mahal showed up. Well, I forgot to mention his name. He showed up. Well, his wife came first. She lives in Hawaii. Taj Mahal is living in Hawaii. And Buffy St. Marie lives in Hawaii. That's where we started the connection. Right there. She lives in Hawaii. Well, I look at her videos and she said, oh, I'm a strong member of the indigenous native community and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And I'm an activist. And yeah, I just got done telling everybody wants to be an activist and all this just for enhance their career. We know the deal. And you know, she's an activist and she's strong and, She actually said she don't know what's going on in her life. She said she heard she was born on the wrong side of the blanket. Then she said, you know, but here's what she says. I was adopted by two families. I love them to death. They love me. They acknowledge me, and that's all I care about. Okay. I hear you. Good. Two families. So she's got two to pick from, right? Most people only got one. But she's got two to pick from. Now, here's my point, and I'm glad Tahunshi's here because we talked about this lots of times. And then I wanted to bring up about this Kimberly Nana Sunshine. She's over there in Ohio, they're doing a Eagle and Condor gig over there in Ohio. So this Kimberly Nana, Sunshine, of all things, the name she has, she claims she's Lakota. She's adopted by the Lakota, and she uses this wherever she goes. She's getting gigs. She goes out in a circle, plays on a drum with a jack and a Cracker Jack toy drumstick, and dresses up, and she's pure Washichu as can be. She looks like that Miss Piggy, you know, that the cartoon or the stuffed bear, and she's on the drum. I hate to make fun of people, but I'm not making fun of her. That's just how she looks to me, you know. So anyway, you know, she's doing this. Here's the thing about people when they're going to lie, right, when they want to lie. She says she's adopted Lakota, and she says who adopted her. Well, we know the guy who she says is, you know, the guy who put her in that spot. And he ain't Lakota. He's Dakota, ain't he, Toshi?
Yep.
Ain't Lauren Zephyr Dakota? He's not Lakota. He's Dakota.
Yeah, he's
from on there.
The Makota, he's in those people are the in ones. Makota, they're East River Indians.
But they Dakota talk with
up north.
Why don't she say she's adopted by Dakota or Nakota? Why is it she's, you know, because Lakota sounds better. That's why, you know. But even though, look at, Obama got adopted by the Crows. So don't make him a Crow. Lou Diamond Phillips was down there, and they made him a citizen in Pajin Sinte, Porcupine, you know. Were you there? Remember when Lou Diamond Phillips came down? We were there. I mean, Yeah, well, they had a event there at the powwow and put a blanket on him and danced around a circle and made him. But that don't make Lou Diamond Phillips Lakota. It's just that people honored him because, you know, they liked his style. I like Lou Diamond Phillips too. But look at Jesse Jackson. Same with him. Some people honored him. Don't make him Lakota. And when you have a hunka ceremony, and I'll let Toshi take over here on what a hunka ceremony is. When you have a hunka ceremony and make someone a family member, that's just between you and the family. It don't mean you're from the Lakota tribe. And you know what? It's like Crow Dog called some Washichu brother. So that guy told Crow Dog, oh, so we're brothers? Crow Dog said, yeah. So that guy took off and even changed his name to Crow Dog, pure white guy too, you know, or Washichu. Ooh, I hate using that word white. Go ahead, Toshi. Explain about a hunka ceremony.
Hunka is
your two cents,
you know,
on my take.
You know, what's the name? Hunka ceremony. Like I told you guys before, I explained this before. A hunka is a family or a family member that gets along with somebody so well. And so they make him a relation. They make him, hunka means of long ago. It's something that was done of long ago, hunka. Well, that person or that family takes you in. So you're related to that family. It does not mean you're a tribal member. You're only related to that family that adopted you. The family, the immediate family. That's the only adoption. That's a hunka ceremony. you could adopt another person into your immediate family. That does not make you Lakota. That does not turn you into Lakota overnight or that instant. The tribe is not adopting you. It's that family. So that family is responsible for you and how you act, what you do. So that's how a Hunkun works. So it does not mean that the tribe as a whole adopted you. It's that family. The family, individual families adopted you. You could claim that, but you cannot claim to be Lakota, Sioux, whatever other noun or whatever it is that you're using to describe yourself, you know. But it does not mean that you're a tribal member. That it doesn't exist. You're only adopted into a family. A person adopted you. That's how that works. So it's not the nation, the Sioux Nation or the Lakota Nation is not adopting you. It's only that family. So they make relations with you. So you're relative of that family. So like I say, you have to respect that. When you claim you're a Sioux or you're Lakota, it's a lie. That family that adopted you should be put first because they hunkuned you. And you should explain how they adopted you and why they adopted you. A lot of people don't do that. See, they think that because that person is Lakota, automatically makes them Lakota members. No, it does not. It's the individual family's responsibility to you and you to them. And how you conduct yourself is important too. And so these things you have to think about. When you're hunkered into a family, remember, respect that family. Respect those people of that family and conduct yourself accordingly. Don't go around saying that, oh, they adopted me into a tribe. It doesn't work that way. You know, that's not how it works. And just because we're Lakota, and they claim we're Americans, that does not make us automatically white. Think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, you know, this is how that works. That's how a Hunkun ceremony works. And like I say, it's important that you explain yourself and how they adopted you and where they adopted you and why. Why is a big, important part of it. And I don't hear none of these people explain that. Right away, they threw a whole tribe into the mix. It does not work that way. You know, respect yourself. Respect the people that did this to you. And be happy that they made relations with you. Because you're related to those people, not the tribe. And that's how that works. So Hunkun is like I say, a lot of these people exploit the Native American or, you know, the Lakota people. They exploit it. And that's what I see a lot of these people doing. You know, like Tanshi was talking about, Bopi Saint Maria, whatever her name is. You know, think about her. You know, now she's having a hard time defending herself because she's probably the lie. This is the brainwashing they did to her, see. And she I don't know where she's, you know, some people are saying she's Italian. And I believe she is, you know. But you know, the thing about it is today they have DNA. So if you claim Native American, you better make sure nobody gets a hold of your DNA if you're going to lie about it. Somebody gets a hold of your, anything, you know, they could run a DNA on you and they could bust you. Awesome. See, and that's what happened to this. Yeah.
That's a good point. You see, now DNA's been around for a while. She's had several years to just say, all right, let's have DNA. But she never did it. So it looks like she's hiding that much more. But here's the other thing about that. I noticed, here's what I noticed when, in her case, whenever the Washichu gets involved in things like this, for some reason, they always go for the opposite of what we think. So
yep.
Our people have all these, like we're talking about, like Tanshi says, DNA, Hunka, and all this. We go by all these things, you know, before we acknowledge somebody. Well, the other side, I look at these posts, all the Washichu that I don't even let those kind of people in on Facebook or nothing I do because they're, you know, they're troublemakers. Like one woman, she's supporting Israel. She's talking about Ukraine. And then now she's saying that Indians are turning their back on their own kind. It doesn't matter. All the evidence, there's a video of Buffy St. Marie talking. Now, she's still in denial of this. She's trying to clean up what's going on. But she does say this. She don't know. She was told she was born on the other side of the blanket. Now, you know, that's trying to make it sound Indian, but to me, I interpret that as she's born on the other side of the ocean or something. Maybe, you know, we don't know. If they don't know where she came from, you see, a lot of people, even bullshitters, we know where they were born. Even we know where their mom and dad are from. That was bullshitter. We still know where they came from. But here, they got these kind of bullshitters where you don't know. You know, you just don't know. But they come out and yeah, she got famous. She made a name for Native Indigenous people in Canada. She made it look like the first Native to make stuff happen. But when you think about it, in order for an Indian to get someplace in life, he really got not to be an Indian. He's got to be something else. He's got to be Jewish or something else. Then he'll get ahead. He'll make it. But a real Indian ain't going to make it. I don't care what the hell he does. And here's the other thing. You know, she put on this show about she's a survivor. You know, this is what gets me. And I know a lot of women are going to jump on my stuff right here when I say this. But you know what gets me? They'll lay with all these Washichu men, all these pale face. They'll lay with them and never say nothing about it. But when they lay with the Indian or another indigenous, then it's a rape. They don't holler rape when they're with all these other guys, but suddenly it's a rape, and now it's a sad story and a victim and a survivor or something, you know? But they're out there marrying 10, 15 Washichu, you know, and different people. But, you know, I myself don't like pedophiles. I don't like rapists. And I back up any woman and a victim. Better not be my sisters, because I'll go after some man or something, you know. But so I'm not sticking up for somebody else. I'm just saying, why is it that if you're laying with white guys, it means nothing? But when it's Indians, you're laying with drunk white guys in a hotel, getting drunk and partying. But when you do it with the Indians, suddenly it's a rape. You know, and the other thing about this, when you're raised with Indians, and some kids were raised with Indians, some kids were, maybe their mom hooked up with a Lakota or another indigenous Indian, you know, Apache or something else. And that kid's raised with Indians. That kid automatically picks up our spirituality, our way of life, because Indians, we have the most unique form of worshiping Wakantanka, and that's powerful. So here's her. If she was raised with all these Indians, where's her spirituality at? Instead, she joined a spiritual faith group called Bahalir, some kind of, it's a mix of Islam and something over there in Iran and that place. She went with that faith, you know? So that right there tells me she must not have been that deep in any Indian family. Because if you're in with the Indian family, a native indigenous family, every Indian's natives, they're really spiritual one way or another. And most of them are spiritual the traditional way. And of course, we got Catholic and Christianity beat in us. They beat it into us. So, of course, there's some natives who are more Christian than Catholic. But this Bahali or whatever kind of religion is, nobody beat that in us. So how the hell is the Indian going to end up doing that? You see, there's common sense here. And then this woman mentioned about, what the hell was her name? Kimberly Nana Sunshine. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let me think here for a second. But, hey, Wayne or Philip, did you guys go to this? Didn't you guys go to this event down there, Eagle?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Nope.
I didn't get I've been helping an elder get ready to move to Michigan.
Okay, so all right. So none of you did, right? Okay.
I have been in contact with them because somebody sent me a video of what was going on down there with that Nana woman because this guy, Kevin Realman, blocked me. So I couldn't see anything that was going on. So I actually sent that Maria Technicolor the video, and I asked her, why are you lying to me about this woman?
Mm-hmm.
You said she wasn't going to be performing there or doing anything, and I have video proof of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hey, Wombly, I'm the one that sent Philip the video, okay? And they're posting everything on Facebook.
You want a feather? You want a feather?
Yeah. Give them two. He can have two.
Yeah,
I do.
since you were the one, you know, here's a feather, you know. go ahead, though. Go ahead, though, you know. Come on.
Yeah, they're posting everything on Facebook. Yeah, well, they're posting everything on Facebook about that event. And it's a bunch of people just gathering around fanatics.
Who's they? Hold on now. Hold on now. Remember, we're talking. There's people out there that don't know what we're talking about. They don't know your name. They don't know who you are. They don't know. So we always have to rethink of that when we speak. So you're talking about who, what, and where. So go ahead.
It's the Eagle and Condor event over here in Mount Orab, Ohio. And it's between Dayton and Cincinnati. It's more northeast of Cincinnati. And they're holding an event of fanatics. And it's the lady who is claiming she was adopted by the Lakota Nation. And that's the one you're talking about. She had that little Cracker Jack little piece of wood beating on a drum. And they have a bunch of local people there, you know, raising money for themselves, and I think there was like an indigenous fellow who's probably Mexican as well there during the event. I haven't sent the whole video over to Philip yet, but this is a type of event where, you know, it seems more like it's cultural appropriation than an actual, you know, an actual circle. Philip, you want to add in on that?
That gentleman that you were talking about that's Mexican, he's not actually Mexican. He's from Peru. He's from what I understand, he's an actual medicine person from Peru that's down there doing healings. I don't know. I can't say whether he is or isn't. I'm not from Peru, so I don't know what their protocols are. But yeah, it's more hokey stuff that's going on down
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, you see, those people from, like you said, Peru and stuff like that, they kind of on a different trip than we are, like me and Tanshi and us. You know, we're in a more journey of life without the Wasichu. You see, in other tribes and other cultures and in other countries, they don't have that ability to get away from Wasichu. I don't know why, but so that's why to him coming over here playing medicine man or something, because he probably is, but they don't think nothing about running around and making money. You know, to him, it's like an Indian going to Europe. Nobody's going to see him. So he's over there playing medicine, man. You know, hey, and with a feather. Okay. And I'm healing your butt and all this stuff, you know. I mean, your back, why they say butt. They're healing your back and your leg, you know, and with a feather, you know. So he's over here and they do that. So I kind of understand that, you know, and I don't like it, but he's indigenous, you know, so he most likely lives that way. But like this Kimberly Nana and others that show up here and there, they, like I said, she looks like that Miss Piggy. And that kind of insults our people. You know, if she did that over here, I think our people would run her off. Seriously, I think they would. I don't think she could show up at a powwow or something over here and walk out to a center of a circle with a drum and a little stick and start singing them. And people are going to listen to you, you know. It wouldn't happen over here.
You know,
get away with it.
You know, it's hunchy. I'm going to talk about an example that, you know, a lot of this, like this Nana or whatever her name is. Okay, there's some singers. They're called the Bearhead Sisters. They sing Native American songs or Indian songs, Lakota songs. But if you ever watch those girls, none of those girls will ever come out with a drum. They come out with a man, and the young man does the drumming for them. Any Native Lakota woman or any woman from a tribe, a known tribe, will not come out with a drum. It's not for the women. The women do not use a drum. They could back it up, but they cannot sit at a drum. And that's natural law. See? So these women that do this, it's I don't know where they pick this stuff up or where they learn this. But that Nana should not have a drum in public. If you see any of these Native American, real Native American girls that sing or whatever, they will not go on stage with the drum. They will not be seen in public with the drum. They always have a male person that will beat the drum for them because they know the importance of that drum
and what it stands for in our culture. So the women that do this, women that have drums and they play this, whatever it is that they're doing, that alone ought to tell you that she's a farce. See? So the real Lakota women, the ones, Native American women, they respect that. They respect that drum. They know what it's about. So they don't carry it. They don't use it. They have a male partner or a male do it for them. So that's another thing that a lot of these people, see, that's why I say it's a way of life. Our chanupa, tchachanupa does not allow women to do that. And a lot of these people that do, that's why I always say it's a way of life. It's not a religion. It's not a cult. Ours is a way of life. So that's the difference between a religion and a cult. See, a cult is they're asking for money. A way of life is our medicine and our beliefs, our teachings. And the women do not beat on drums. They don't do that. That's something they never do. So that's something to keep in mind. So you see these people like that Nana or whatever her name is, you know, doing things like that, you know, standing with the drum, trying to, you know, be a Native or Indian, you know, maybe in India that's allowed, but not Lakota, not the indigenous here in the so-called the fatherland here. They don't allow that. They don't do that because
Here's
of respect or a way of life.
Here's another one, Tanshi, and you know this person too. And this guy, for years, I look on Facebook, people always using his quotes, which he stole from somebody else, John Trudell. Now, John Trudell, let me finish here. John Trudell, his at his funeral, one of his women said this. She said, John was not a Trudell. Stepfather was. John's biological parents were Hispanic or Mexican, and he's not Santee Sioux. And we knew this.
Yeah.
But you see, he's another one. He climbed the ranks, big amster, made movies, did all this stuff and got by claiming Santee Sioux and running with Indians and running with them so much nobody questioned where the hell he's from or anything else. And they do that, but he's another example, you know? And these people, you watch their journey. They show up out of nowhere. They start running with Indians. Then they start making a name for themselves. And after they made their name for themselves, they disappear, and they're not with the Indians no more. They're with the Hollywood people making money and not they're not giving back to where they got it from. That's what I'm talking about, Buffy St. Marie and these people. They went out and got famous, but when we asked her to do a gig for us, she wouldn't come unless she wanted big-time money. And then the only reason why she did show up was so she could show off in front of the people that we got there legitimately who came without wanting money. You know, she wanted to be seen with Richie Havens, Chuck Berry, Steppenwolf, and Eulalie. I love those girls because they will come anytime, you know? And Floyd Westerman showed up that time too. So these people like her, she got a big home in Hawaii. She ain't living with her people that she claims. And she's not, if she was so decent, why didn't she just come to help us do the gig? I seen her get on TV with just a guitar and put on a show. Now, how much money does it cost to sit on the stage with a microphone, play a guitar, and sing a few songs? She wouldn't even do that. You see, John Trudell, another one. Once he got, I used to talk to him. He used to run around and everybody knew him. But once he started being, like the last time I seen him, we were doing a Willie Nelson gig. Remember that gig we did in the Black Hills?
Yeah. Yeah.
With, remember all the Chris Christopherson, Willie Nelson, New Young, all these people. Well, John Trudell came with, when he came with them, who's that guy sings, he sings, Doctor, my eyes and see the. I'm trying to think his name. Anyway, that guy was there. What the hell's his name? Anyway,
I knew you're talking about, but I can't think of his name now.
He says that one, running on empty, running on that, you know. Anyway, that guy, him and John Trudell had the same manager and producer. So when they came to the gig, I was in there with them, helping them tuning guitars, hanging out with them. John Trudell, at that time, he was so big-headed, he didn't even talk to me no more. He had his nose stuck up. Yeah.
Dang.
So I got pissed off. So one time he passed by, and I just gave him a dirty look. And that kind of scared him. So he asked somebody, what's wrong with that, man? How come he's looking at me like that? And they said, hey, you mad at John? And I said real loud, I said, F John Trudell, that punk. And I said it real loud. You know, let him hear it.
Yeah.
You know? You know, but you see, these guys, they make money from us. And then when they get out there in the world making big-time bucks, they don't give nothing back. Now, I don't want their money. You know what I mean? I don't want their money. I don't want their, I ain't even trying to get their connections. But when we're doing events, raising money, like we always had to do, you know, on the res, like to get swimming pool, to get rec center, or do stuff for the kids, a ballpark, you know, that stuff costs money. So we ask them to come and they won't come. They want big time money. But if you say, oh, Elvis and Jimi Hendrix are showing up, boy, they're right there. You know, it's just like some, just like me, I got some relative. I said, hey, we're having Inipi. You can come. We invite you to come. Who else going to be there? Don't matter who's going to be there, you know. You see, that's the kind of people they are. And I don't like people like that, you know. You know, like even Chuck Berry told me, he said, you know what? He said, I don't care if there's only five people. You know, you want me to sing, I'll sing. I don't care if it's five people, you know. And everybody talks bad about Chuck Berry. But, you know, that guy donated back after he went home. He had some pity for our people, you know? And people talk bad about Chuck Berry. But you see all these people, you know, Buffy St. Marie, John Trudell, when it comes out in the end, well, if John Trudell's a Mexican, he just don't know what tribe he is, so he's still indigenous. So I would accept him as that. You know what I mean? But these people, like they're coming around lying. And what gets me is they always got to come over and say, See, here's somebody countering that. John was Santee Lakota, and his mom was Mexican. You know, so you see, Santee ain't Lakota, right?
No, no. Those people are Dakotas. Santee is, they're not, they sold out years ago, so that's something about Santee.
Yeah, but, so you see, and here comes a guy jumping in ready to fight and don't know his ass from a hole in the ground, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, everybody wants to fight, especially if they're not even native. If they're not even native, they're the biggest ones that want to fight. All these Washitu will argue for John, and they will argue for Buffy St. Marie, and they will argue for Kimi Nana or whatever her name is. They will argue for them, and then they'll call us troublemakers, you know. And because an Indian said John Trudeau ain't he's Mexican right away. Non-Indians want to attack him, you know, and that's what happens. That's why we can't get along with the Washitu. Because they disagree with everything we say. Even if they know it's right, they disagree just to disagree. They disagree just because they want to argue. And that's their nature.
Controversy. Yeah. Always want controversy. You know, these Washitus, if you ever look at it, the divide and conquer, like I always say, you know, our reservation, you go to any reservation, the schools are all set up to dumb down the Native American. But yet, you try to tell that to a Washitu. You know, if you put an Indian and a Washitu together at the same degree, that Washitu will have a six-figure job, and this Native American will still be hustling to get a job. That's the difference between a Washitu and the... And then they say, oh, it's not discrimination. We're not, you know. They hate the Indian people because the Indian people own the land. And it's stolen. And maybe that's their guilt. I don't know. But any Washitu,
you see,
that way. They attack people right
you
away.
You see, the thing is, like, we're all not Lakota. We're all not. Look at Phil. Look at Wayne. You know, we all have different backgrounds. You know, it don't make one of us better than the other. But the fact that makes us real is we're not bullshitting. You know, we're just simple people. And that's why we're here tonight. You want to ask the question? Anybody out there want to ask Wayne a question, Bimber or Philip? Have at it. You know, you have at it. Oh, and even Layla's here. You know, if you want to have at it, ask them. They're here. And, you know, they're not going to be jiving you or whatever. Because these guys, just like Philip, he ain't asking trying to wear a big fancy headdress, but he makes Chanupas, he does traditional work. You know, he respects the cultures, you know, and he's out in nature, and same way with Wayne, you know. And not everybody's smart, even me. I don't know everything. I have to ask Vimber a lot of questions all the time because I want to know something about Lakota. Or anything, I'll ask him because he knows more than me. So I ain't trying to play like I'm Mr. Know-It-All either, but I tell you what, you compare me to what's out there, and like here's a guy who wants to holler and argue, and he says, yeah, John was Santee Lakota, and his mom was Mexican, you know, because Lakota people are not Sioux. This is the white labeling indigenous people, you see. He wants to argue, but he don't even know what the hell he's talking about. You know, this is what gets me mad. People want to fight because, you know why? Because they read. They read stuff. They read everything. And when they read something, that means it's fact. They never look at something that maybe somebody effed up writing it. To them, it's fact. That's why they believe in the Bible, because it's written on paper, so that makes it fact. But they're so stupid, they don't realize the Bible is written 50 times or 100 times, I don't know. But, you know, I told you, I read the Bible, and that was just a story to me. And I'm not going to argue about something I read, but when I know something, you know, just like I know for a fact, Santee were not Lakota. So I would argue with this guy, but just to double check, since Tanashi's here, I ask him. When he tells me, boom, I'll go over and call this guy a bull, you know, jump on his case. Because I know it anyway, but, you know, just to double check. And that's from, I'm getting stuff from the horse's mouth. You know, this guy has nothing to do with our people, but he wants to argue about it, you know. And that's what gets me about these people that want trouble, you know. And, you know, they ruin stuff. They ruin it. They should learn something from real sources. If you're going to talk about Indian people, Native Indigenous people, don't tell me you read it in a book, because once you tell me that, I'm done with you, you know, because we don't need to read stuff in the book. Everything, Tanashi's whole entire life isn't because he read it in a book. Now, how many people on this earth live their life the way it was written in a book? Probably the whole damn world, except for a few handful of us that don't live a life the way it was written in a book. You know, I don't believe when there's stuff they wrote about my family in books that's lies, you know. Because the publisher wants to sell a book. He don't care if he tells a lie. You know, just like that movie, Lakota Woman. My Aunt Elsie died in 1976. But that movie is based on things that happened. And one particular part was when they were in Wounded Knee in 1973 in that movie, Lakota Woman. And in that movie, they're up in Wounded Knee, and all of a sudden, here comes my cousin Barbara. And them, they come up there, and they come to Mary, and they're crying, and she says, what's the matter? And they tell her, Aunt Elsie is dead. You see, that was in 1973, but they put that in that movie when my Aunt Elsie didn't die till 1976.
Oh, man.
So even in movies, even in books, when you read them, it's bullshit. Like, read that book, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. There's so much bullshit in there. It really blows my mind,
Speaking of that, Black Elk Speaks, is one of the most sold books in the world. I guess these guys read it and all of a sudden they're Indian experts. When the guy wrote that book was going to tell the truth, because he left a lot of truth out of there. Neidhart, when he was going to go back and redo the book and tell the truth, the publishing company took him to court, stopped him, because they said the publishing company owns the rights to what this guy did. And so he was going to tell the truth of what he's seen. He has it all documented. He had boxes and boxes of records of what he's seen. And he said the reason why he didn't put it in a book was because the publishing company wanted to sell books. And they let him put all that stuff, the truth in that book, then it would have had to go on as a lie, a book of lies. So he had to leave all that stuff out so the book would sell. And then I sold the Bible and still outselling the Bible. But you think about
Tanashi,
that.
Let's go back further than that, though, with Black Elk. Now, Black Elk was a survivor or whatever, a Wounded Knee, right? Okay,
yep.
So hold it right there. Now let's talk about that. How many Lakotas in them days talked English? Black Elk didn't talk English, from what I understand. He didn't talk English, because I know my own grandpas didn't talk English. They had to use interpreters just 100 years ago. They was still, have to use interpreters. There's guys that even today, remember there's a guy that came on our radio show that wouldn't talk English, And you see, and Black Elk didn't talk English, but yet the book's in English. So in other words, they had to use interpreter to write Black Elk's book. And once you use an interpreter, and somebody said it was his son or that, how many people tell stories exactly the way they are? All you got to do, if someone tells you a story and says, I was driving down the road 50 miles an hour and blah, blah, blah. But the guy you tell it to will say, when he passes on, he is driving 70 miles an hour. He got to add 15 miles to it. Once you pass it down, it's no longer the truth. When you're writing in these books. But you see, when we're speaking, we can always double check, just like I did with this guy. Even though I know Santi ain't Lakota, I was going to jam him up. I'm 100% sure. But I said, since Tanashi's sitting here, I'll ask him. You see, we can do that, but they don't do that. They go head on with the lie.
Santi is not Lakota.
And that's why these books like Black Elk, like Tanashi was saying, one of the most sold books, in the world. I mean, they have this book in different languages all over the world. I mean, you go to Europe, everybody read Black Elk Speaks. Now, once they translate it to German or Russian or something else, how much does his words change once you send it someplace else? Because even Black Elk's niece, who always comes on the show, Jennifer, she didn't like a lot of that stuff. She told me. She even said it here on the show. Because a lot of things got changed. Like him saying in the book, like he made it look like he was in the Catholic. Because remember he had a rosary or something, you know. They made it look like he was walking with two religions. He was Catholic and Lakota way. And that ain't what it was. Because, I don't know, say if I'm wrong, Tanshi, but from what I understand about that, you know, from older Lakotas about that, was he didn't say that. He said our people
yep.
are going to end up taking a fork in the road, and some are going to go that Catholic way, and some are going to stay this way. He didn't say he's walking two ways. He said the people, yep. some are going to go that way, and some are going to go this way.
See, you know? And that's what I'm getting at, Tanshi. Okay, the guy that originally stayed with him for all those years and that wrote that book, he wanted to change it because he had everything written down. He documented his entire stay there with Black Elk. And he wanted to change it to put the truth in there. Because a lot of what he put in there was a lie. So when he wanted to change it to the truth, they wouldn't let him do it because now a white man owned it. And it was selling so big and so good, making a lot of money. They will not let the guy change the book. See, that it all boils down to Muzza Scott again. So the guy, Neinhardt, could not change the book because the publishing company didn't want it changed. That's why, to keep it nonfiction, Neinhardt had to leave and tell a bunch of lies in that book in order for it to sell. Otherwise, yep. back in the day, that would have been went under fiction, see, and it would have never sold. That's the reason why he didn't put the truth in there. See, they made a book to sell. And he appeased the white man. And in the end, when he tried to go back and correct it, they would not let him do it. So you talk about history. History is his story, that one man's story. And that's what these people read, is one man's account of what happened. So it's not the truth. It's just one man's account. It's that man's truth and how people receive it and put it out there. That's the next match. So when you do all these studies or you go to these books and stuff, think about that. You're reading one man's story, and you could change it any way to satisfy yourself, see. And that's something I disagree with books. They put a lot of lies in there. And that's like today, they talk about the Bible, oh, the Holy Book. You know, there's a lot of rapes, there's a lot of winkes, there's a lot of things in that Bible. And it should be banned in these schools also. But yet, they push that as you know, God's word. You know, and that's a lie. So a lot of these things, when you do these things, think about it. If you didn't live it and you didn't go through it, then don't talk about it. And don't say it's the truth. That's the problem that we have today. You know, anymore, it's getting to where a lie is the truth. And the truth is a lie. That's how bad we've come. Look at what they're doing to this Trump, the greatest liar on earth. You know, all these people, these politicians, think about how much liars are sitting in that white man house. And they're lying every day, but yet people believe it, see. And then they'll read something that he said, oh, that, you know, he said this. It's just, like I say, Neinhardt tried to change it. He went back and wanted to tell the truth. But yet they didn't want to change it because of the way it was selling. The revenue that it was creating was where they wanted to leave it. They didn't want the truth. They took him to court
in white man court, they said the publishing company paid this man for that book, so he had no right to change it. And it was his book. What does that tell you about this, about these people? See, the guy that made the book, the guy that did all of the research, everything, when he turned around and said, well, I want to tell the truth now, you know, because people are more open-minded, they wouldn't let him do it. That goes to show you how things get twisted, changed around, and misinterpreted. So that guy alone ought to be, people ought to look at that. Think about that Bible. Now, when you do research, there is some truth in some of that. And that's what it is. See? So if you're going to read books and do research, make sure you dive deep into it. And if you don't know, go live with the people. Go live there. Go hang out with them. Be a part of them for a while. And that's why I say this, Tachanupa, that we have. It's a way of life. And it's not a religion. And a lot of people, they take that and they run with it. And then all of a sudden they're like, Lakota, I'm a medicine man. You know, I'll tell you another thing about the people down south there. We had a guy come from South America up to my brother's to have a ceremony because the cartels on her, I guess they still have black magic. I don't know. I've never been down there. But they put a spell on that whole community. And they, in order to get money out of them. So the elders that got together, they're so-called holy people, medicine, got together and put them on a mission to go and find a medicine man that was good, a real medicine man, one that could help in a good way, not this bad way. They went all the way. He took the time and traveled all the way to South Dakota just to find my brother and have a ceremony so they could ask for protection down there. So you talk about these medicine men down there, and Tanshi hit it on the head. They don't have the good stuff anymore. It's all used in the wrong way. We don't do that, us people. We don't have that. There is some bad medicine, and there's a lot of bad medicine. But there are some dedicated medicine men back home that pay attention to their people, that take care of their people, that love their people. And my brother happens to be one of them. But I never say nothing to people. You know, but you think about that. The guy from South America coming up there because the elders of his community sent him on a mission. They got the help they needed. Years later, he sends my brother. They said they wouldn't let him back in the country, so he sends a package with waonye and tobacco and asked my brother to put on a wopila. Thank you for that. Because whatever it is that he did worked down there. And they thanked my brother for what he did for them because they were living free. So you think about this way of life that I tell you. Even down there, those medicine men, think about how corrupt they are. And then that woman, Kunana or whatever her name is, and all these people claiming to be medicine men. You know, I'll tell you something about these white people. They use this guy named Jesus Christ, probably the greatest man that ever was given to the white race. What did they do to him? They killed him. And yet they use his name. And so they say his father was God. And how many Lakota people did they kill? And how many lies did they create because they were getting their asses kicked by the Sioux for these treaties? How many lies? And yet they still use that book as the truth. All these churches that are set up are all based off of lies. But yet they love it. They love lies. And that's what's happening today in this world. That's, you know, so these people that read these books, think about that. It's one man's story, one man's account of what happened. It's not the truth. It's that one man's, and that's what you're passing around out there, saying it's the truth. How many lies did he put in there to sell the book? These are things that people, when they do research, like Hunchy said,
He doesn't, you know, he doesn't like to do that. He likes living it. That's like me. You know, it's the education system that they have today. You know, all these top-notch colleges and whatever, universities, those were all prison camps at one time for Native American kids. Now they're turned into big money makers. But at one time, there were prison camps for little Native kids, 4 or 5-year-old kids that they stole off these lands, took them over there to humanize them, is what they said, to make them white. You know, that's what they did. See? And it's still going on today. And like I say, the people that they practice it on, the Native American, is dumbed down today so they could steal their land. It's still happening to this day. And it's not only here. It's like I say, look at what they're doing to Hamas, you know. And those people over there doing all this killing are claiming religious people. You know, think about things like this. The reality is they're lying. They're liars. Even in the Bible, God killed some of his children. See, think about those things. Before saying, oh, it's this holy book. It's what we still have our medicine men. We still have those people. We still live with them. We've never sold them. We never killed them. We still use them to this day because we know what they could do, and we know who they are. We live healthy lives because of them. If done right, this way of life is one of the greatest ways of life there is. That's why all these Washichus are trying to get in there now. They all want to be medicine men. Remember, you cannot be a medicine man overnight. You're born into it. You're not made. You cannot be made a medicine man. This is something that runs in the bloodline. It does not happen overnight. Good example, Chasing Horse. Look at him now. Jammed himself up by playing medicine man. You know, these consequences that come with that, eventually they'll catch up to you because this way of life, it's a way of life. It's a truth. You got to live it. And Punchy himself will tell you. As a matter of fact, he just lived it last year, whenever it was that he went back in. It's a way of life. He never gave it up. Even after years of sitting off to the side, he still went in there because he needed it. That's a way of life. And these things are fact. These things are true, like Kunshi said. You know, all these people reading these books, doing this research, oh, this is the truth. How do you know it's the truth? You've never lived there. You've never done that. We live it, us guys. We live it every day. People putting on this condor and eagle, that passed years ago, but yet why are they playing that up, making it sound indigenous? You know? It's a moneymaker. How many of these people go to a reservation and put money into those poor kids that are there, especially on Pine Ridge? How many of them people put money back into their communities or try to live there with their people? All they're doing is exploiting a little part of our way of life.
You know, I wanted to jump in there again, you know, because these guys, you know, like you said, get off on head trips real quick, you know. Every little thing they do, get on a head trip, like this Kimberly Nana. I mean, she must be on a damn big head trip to stand out there and play like, she's an Indian when she looks like a little Miss Piggy. You know? And I ain't trying to put her down. I mean, look at her picture. I swear she looks like little Miss Piggy. You know?
Petunia.
And she's
that's
standing there.
Name,
she's standing there. Yeah, she's standing there with the drum, you know? I mean, and they go on these big head trips, and just like this guy mentioning John Trudell. When I met John Trudell, everybody knows this guy as being a big star, you know. Well, many of us knew him when he wasn't a big star. When I met him, they didn't even have CDs. He was recording on little four-track tapes just like I was.
The real
thing about it, like me, I play guitar, piano, saxophone, everything. John Trudell, all he could play was his sex organ, you know? And that's all he was good for. But you know what? You know what? The thing about it, he started climbing up. And I ain't now easy of him, Tanshi. Not jealous of this guy. Because he traveled and ran around and looked for this way up. He searched around. He did the Buffy St. Marie thing, and he climbed up, and I wasn't doing that. I stayed home with our people while John was running around the country. I never even heard John Trudell grab a drum and sing a song. Had you, Tanshi, you ever seen John playing a drum?
I've never, ever heard him sing any Lakota song, nothing. I've never seen it.
You see that? See what I'm saying? But yeah,
we know John.
Everybody wants to argue that he's traditional, because in a movie he played like he's traditional. He never did that.
Nope.
And he couldn't even play a guitar. But, you know, he crawled up. I remember the last gig we did, and we were at the same time. He was already being famous. Oh, Jackson Brown, that's the guy's name I was talking about. Well, by this time, my band was still a res band. So we played at Civic Center, but with the low-class groups, you know what I mean? Res bands. We had a different – we played in the daylight. Well, John Trudell, he has celebrity status, and he has a guitar player from Hollywood. So he gets on – he's on the big stage. He's on the big stage. We're on the little stage. Now John Trudell ain't talking to me. He's ignoring me. He's acting like he's too cool for me. And that's the same way with Buffy St. Marie. That's the same thing that happens to all these people when they sell out and start doing stuff. And actually, I pity them, because the truth comes out. Now look at Buffy St. Marie. She made a video and she was actually almost crying because she's under attack right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, now I want to talk to you so you can hear it from me first. Well, it's too late. How can we hear it from her first when first was 50 years ago when she could have said it before everybody else was saying it now? You know? And, you know, they cry. They go through hell because they bullshit it all this time. And in the end, they get so paranoid, like John. He didn't even want to come around us anymore. And then he started talking bad about the American Indian Movement. You know, you can't blame the American Indian Movement for anything. The American Indian Movement is not a person. The American Indian Movement is just like what it says. It's a movement of indigenous people working together to secure justice, preserve culture and tradition. That's what it's meant to do. But somehow it's kind of going sideways here and there, you know. But so because one person screws up in the movement, you can't blame the rest of us. Like, you can't blame AIM for killing Anna Mae Aquas. You can't, you can't blame AIM for a lot of stuff that happens, because bad things that happen were done by individuals. The American Indian Movement as a movement, the movement itself is an honest movement. It's an honest mission to travel on to help preserve our culture. It's a mission to help people know what's right and what's wrong. It ain't, the American Indian Movement isn't there for us to join the Washichu in their presidential elections and their governor elections and mayor and politics. It's not, never was meant for that, but it's jumping on that. American Indian Movement is there to learn something about your culture and try to see how you can help it, you know, to go there and witness it. And how can you be an effective part of the American Indian Movement? You know, you don't need to show up dressed like a biker with 50 patches on. You know, you just be yourself. And that's how we survive. And that's why, like, Philip had his group for 20. How long you had your group now, Philip? 25 years now? 22, 23 years? I know it's been quite a while because it's been like, did I know Philip for how? I met him 5 years ago anyway.
Tanshi, we talked about this before. You know, American Indian Movement itself is not a tribe or an individual. It's people together pushing for Indian or Native American rights. And like you were saying, to preserve culture, you know, and these injustices that are happening, all this killing by cops, all this other, that was what it was about. Raymond Yellow Thunder was killed by two white boys that were walking the street with nothing. They didn't even touch him or anything, and the cops were with them. And that's the reason why American Indian Movement got traction, you know, was because these white boys killed an Indian, and there was nothing done about it. The cops were the enemy of American Indian because of the way they were treating Indians, natives. And today, American Indian Movement is trying to suck eggs to the cops. What does that tell you about?
Yes. Shaking hands with them, shaking hands and saying, we're going to have a meeting with the police tonight. So any of you have any questions, give them to me and I'll pass them to the chief of police for you. How is that, you know, and that ain't how we do it.
We have to stick to
our guns.
Another thing that gets me is what happened to American Indian Movement when Tiger was attacked, that Lakota boy, you know, that boy was harassed every day by the police force. By the Washichu police force, the Gestapo of Rapid City, you could more or less say the cops. They weaponized the cops against the Native American kids in Rapid City. This boy finally got tired of it, and he fought back. And the result was he killed two cops, wounded one. The feathers that were given to these Washichus by these so-called Navajo cops on the Indian Reservation, that should have been presented to Daniel Tiger. I still bellyache about that because that boy stood up for Native Americans. To me, he's American Indian Movement. You know, that boy stood up and said, he even said it, I'm getting tired of being harassed. These off-duty cops stopped him in a parking lot, and that was the result of it. They got what they deserved. Just like those two FBI agents that Leonard Peltier is sitting in prison for. You know,
yep.
That's, you know, the injustices that happened, it's still there. It's still happening.
Okay.
And that's what I say. What
Let
happened
me move
to American
on because we're getting short on time here, man. We can't. So, now I hope I don't forget what I was going to say. But I was going to, you know. Go ahead. No, I forgot what I was going to say. Keep going, then I'll think of it.
but anyways, that's, you know,
Leave a little opening there so I can come back in, though.
All righty, but anyway, that's the American Indian movement is kind of going. Now it's all about money. It's all about a hustle. It's turning Washichu, and that's why when I try to attack Philip, I told him keep doing what you're doing. Your American Indian movement, because people like Philip.
Now I remember. Okay, here's what I was going to say real quick. You know, remember I sent you some videos, but I also wanted to mention about what me and Wayne was talking, and we're running short on time, so I got to make everything quick, everything I'm going to say now. So one thing was me and Wayne was talking, and it was funny. We were thinking we should get a hold of that guy from Vietnam that now people ain't going to like this. This guy got into it with some Washichu in Wisconsin. He was out there hunting, and eight Washichu confronted him and started calling him Gook and a whole bunch of names. They were calling him names, you know, bullying him out there. But he's by himself with some bully Washichus. Anyway, he whipped out a gun and started gunning them down left and right, you know. And you know, he started gunning them down. They shot at him, too, but... You know, he had an AK-47. He started gunning them down, and they gave him life for all this stuff. Wayne said, we ought to send him a letter and send that guy some feathers. So, you know, we ought to get in touch with that guy, you know, because he's getting – because he – you know what? He was defending himself from racism, and now he's in prison for defending himself from racism. You see, like Daniel Tiger, you know, ain't that a crap of poop, you know? He's defending himself from racism. What do you do when you're out in the woods all by yourself, and here comes a bunch of racist guys, and they're packing weapons, too? They all got rifles. Everybody's got them. He's got a hunting rifle. And they got nerve to start in on him and bully him, saying he's not welcome there, calling him a chink. What was some of those names they call him, Wayne? Anyway, they called him a bunch of names, you know. And actually, they scared the shit out of him what they did, because they had guns, so what he did was he dropped to one knee and started blasting them. He didn't stand straight up. He dropped to one knee and started getting down, you know. And then he got all this time for defending himself from racism.
Yeah. And don't forget, too, he had one key point in his whole hunting adventure. He turned the fluorescent side of the orange jacket inside out back to camouflage.
Yeah, he put his jacket inside out, you know. But now my next point, because time's gone, my next point is this.
I need an opening before you close.
I send it to – hold on, I'm on my next point. I ain't got time. So my next point is this. Tush, you remember I sent you some videos how these native rap artists are doing this hip-hop and acting like Hasapas, but trying to be native.
Now, that's crazy.
Now, it defeats the damn purpose if you're there talking about tradition and culture when you're imitating somebody else's culture. When you're standing there and grabbing your crotch and jumping around. And what gets me is his audience, the ones he picks to be in their videos, are Indians giving gang signs with sunglasses and hoodies on. And they call that tradition, you know, and jumping around, you know. I don't like that, because that's a disgrace to our culture. It's a sabotage to our culture. You're going to sing about native hardships, but you're going to sing about them, talk about them like a Hasapa. you know? And then you're going to show people getting high and stuff. Why can't people do something that shows the happy side of life? That's why I made a song called Lover's Land, because every time we turn around, these music artists, Buffy St. Marie, John Trudell and everything, pointing out how shitty we live. But yet, ain't we some happy people, don't she? Don't we have fun? They act like have fun. We have fun.
Yep.
We live pretty good lives for broke people. You know? I mean, we do. But these people are exploiting our defeats and downfalls so they can sell a record, so they can perform on the stage, you know. One of them had nerve to ask me if I could get him to Europe, because he said, how'd you get to Europe? He said, any way you could get me there? I said, you know what? If I take you to Europe, they're going to want to see a Lakota. They're going to want to see a native. They ain't going to want to see no Hassa jumping up and down on the stage, you know, like Cheetah. They ain't going to want to see that. If I take you to Europe, you better be carrying yourself as a Lakota or Native Indigenous all the way. I ain't represent somebody that's representing somebody else. You know, you better not even show up with a damn cowboy hat on, because I don't like cowboy hats either. You know? You know? So I just wanted to mention that, because time's running out, and I wanted to bring these points up, because we're really having a hard time. Our youth are going sideways with this hip-hop. And then you got the other ones, you know, going sideways with politics. And you got them spreading the word that ain't even the truth, you know? Like this guy saying, John Trudell was Santee Lakota. He screwed it all up right there. Now, if he wants to argue and be a warrior for our people, at least say the right thing. Another guy's talking in front of a big crowd and say, and don't forget, we were here 10,000 years before you. 10,000, he just ruined it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
We've been here
because
forever.
You know what? You look at me and Tanashi, and that ain't because we're old either. I think I always look and I say, you know what? It looks like we're the last of the holdouts, Tanashi, because these young guys ain't coming up like us. They have
no
respect. When a guy goes on Humbletcher, they don't go sing for him. They don't help out. They don't even know what to do when they have a drum. They don't even know what, you know. They're just doing stuff to look good to catch a wean, you know?
Yep. Muslim sky and wean.
And just like you pointed out, and I don't like to brag, but my life has been, you know, I sit here with my chalupa all the time. I sit here with Chanchega all the time. I sit here with my, you know, my feathers and all the time. There, I got tobacco ties tied here and there in the house, you know. And my daughter sees this. My wife and them, they see this. Thing about it, you know, and even my son, he can't see, but he's living this way. You see, the point is this. It never leaves our mind. And that's why when Tanashi said, because I hadn't sung that in a long time. And then all of a sudden, I went back out in that circle. Because that's where I'm comfortable. That's what I needed to do. I needed to remind that Wakantanka is with me.
You know?
And that's why I pierced. You know, I mean, a lot of people can think of a lot of better things to do than going out, you know, and piercing your back or something, piercing your chest. But we do it. Tuanshi went out and Humblecha prayed on the hill with his own, with his sons. Now, how honorable is that? And we don't have people like this no more. You know, everybody's, you know. And I tell you, those of you that are trying your best, I thank you. So I thank you, Wayne. And thank you, Philip. And thank you, others. And Layla and John Davis, who pulled in on this, and other people for supporting us to preserve our culture
and to keep being.
What's that?
I need an opening.
An opening?
Happy birthday. I love you.
Oh, you need an airplane for what? One. No, she said she needs an opening. I was thinking, ain't your mouth opening enough?
Birthday.
I thought she said airplane.
I said,
what you
I said,
happy birthday.
Now, hold on now. I was thinking, ain't your mouth opening enough? You know? So anyway, we got to get ready to head out here. So, Tanshi, you could take over.
Aho, you know, we're going to say a prayer and we're going to close it down, but it was a beautiful, beautiful discussion tonight. Oh, I'm going to say a prayer and we'll shut it down.
And I wanted to thank everybody once again. And please do your best to help preserve our culture and learn what you were learned tonight. Remember what Tanshi says about Hunka, about what is real and what is fake. You know, remember that. Think about it. You know, our indigenous people, we live a hard life. But everybody wants to be like us. You know, it's a struggle. And, you know, they got people out there faking and just exploiting our way of life. So those of you that stand with us and support us, I thank you. And with that, we're going to have to get ready. And,
you know, your son should die at all. chunky si a pchahem lečiku. Ino to, čo preto rozi, južky a kevonky si a kopto.